Good day to you. Here are my three things on Isaiah chapters 12 and 13. Chapter 12, number one, is often called the first song of Isaiah. When we hear this reading, oftentimes it's Easter Sunday. It's often used an Easter sunrise service. Quite frankly, as you think about the context of all this and Easter Sunday, how fitting it is when the Lord has redeemed his people and gathered his remnant into his kingdom, this rescued multitude will raise a song of praise. The wrath of God is stilled, and the redeemed can draw waters from the well of salvation with joy. Salvation is really God's work from start to finish. And so the song is of praise exclusively about him. And to thank the Lord for his works of salvation and to praise him, that's characteristic of God's people, of us. It's our way to make his deeds known among the nations. And yet, we are reminded that we spread the good news of salvation. Sing, let it be known, shout aloud, sing for joy. These are all imperatives, gospel imperatives. As we rejoice in our salvation and we trust him for that salvation, so we proclaim that salvation to the ends of the earth. Number two, going into chapter 13, just kind of a context of history point. During Isaiah's time, Assyria and Babylon were world powers. They both threatened to completely wipe out the house of Israel. Already during the time of Isaiah, Babylon was taking up a central role in global politics. And so more and more, Babylon became synonymous with the greatest enemy of God and his people. Actually, and when you read books like Revelation, Babylon is used as a representative type of animosity toward God and his people. If you see Revelation, or in Revelation, Babylon, that's what it's referring to. But eventually, yes, the Lord uses Assyria and Babylon to punish his sinful people. But when it's fulfilled its assignment and proudly oversteps the bounds of their authority, those kingdoms will be struck down in judgment on the Lord. And they will not succeed in defeating the Lord and his chosen people. And so chapter 13, and really chapter 14 as well, deal with Babylon and Assyria being crushed and Israel being reinstated as a people made up of believers from both the house of Jacob and the Gentile nations around them. That's more chapter 14. But in chapter 13 deals specifically with Babylon. And so number three, just highlighting that sometimes, as it often happens with the prophets, the judgment against the hostile world powers woven together with a depiction of judgment against sin and everything that comes with it at the end of time, at the end of the world. A good example of that is right in the middle of chapter verse 11, when he says, "I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their guilt. I will put an end to the arrogance of the insolent. I will humble the pride of the ruthless." So clearly that's not just talking about Babylon, which was a symbol. It's just referring to these things. Babylon is a symbol for all evil, all pride, and all hostility against God in this world. And so, yes, this is speaking against Babylon, and it will come to an end. The kingdom, worldly power of Babylon will come to an end, and Babylon will be laid waste by the Medes and kingdom of the Medes and Persians later on in history. And yet, we think further down the road, yes, Babylon, all that opposes God and his people will come to an end too. And so until tomorrow, have a blessed day, rejoicing that in chapter 12, right? God is our salvation. We trust him. We are not afraid. May God be with you.